हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so now we're on the sannyasa, first three things of shaving, which was connected with the sannyas, then the tirtha snanam, then we did that was also, then the nyasas tila dharana, now mudra dharana. These are all part of the regular, regular nishpancharatric initiation. So they said, mudra, one should apply stamps with the holy name by means of gopi chandana on the body. Some Vaishnavas brand hot stamps on the body. Oh, we did this on the Shayana Dwasa Titi. But the worshippers of Krishna usually apply cold stamps using gopi chandana. Sri Chaitanya has decided this is more suitable for the people of Kali Yuga. Right? And so, and then we see that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made comments on that, that it's by, Lord Chaitanya's grace, he's been kind to us that this is how we do, because he says it's more suitable. See, with the Shris, then explained to me is that in the Shris, because of the time when he was preaching, then it was a very, there was a lot of, social, political, philosophical unrest about the whole Vaishnav thing, because he had the Buddhism there. Shankaracharya was then driving out the Buddhism. Then they were trying to take the platform of, that they were the proper understanding conclusions of the Vedic literature. And so there was a lot of opposition, both from the Buddhists and from the Mayavadis. So then, Ramanujacharya then adopted for the initiation with the hot brands, because that's something that if they were Buddhists or they were Mayavadis, they wouldn't do. And if they tried to infiltrate, come in and, come into the ashram and try to be part in this and try to figure out what's going on and, some way make trouble, they couldn't, because if they didn't have the brands, they don't come in. And even the women had the brands. Right, they only had the two, the men had the five. But the point is, and it's something you do every year. So it's one thing maybe they did and then they don't. No, it's every year. Then you can also see, are they maintaining? So if they're coming in and saying, yes, I'm a practicing Sri Vaishnav, but their brands haven't been done for some time, then you know there's something wrong. So it was also just a matter of the time, so therefore it was used, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has decided it's better not to, because back then also people had that, it's earlier in the Kali Yuga, so then they're stronger in the mood and all that. But by the time Lord Chaitanya and all that, then we see is that with the moguls being so much prominent there, then you're going to have the element that without the brands it works better like that. And you have not such a, there's more of an establishment, so it's not such a difficult thing. Okay, Kopanishuti, that's fifth samskar. Kopana should be two pieces of cloth. The width should be equal to the distance between the two nipples, and the length should be equal to the girth of the waist plus two fists. Or the length may be 14 fists, and the width one pradesh. Right, pradesh means this wide. So it's one way. You can either measure it like that, or you can just take the cloth and go like that. And then either you put it around the waist and then figure out the two more fists, so two more fists so you can tie the knots, or you just do 14 fists. So you just make it. The point is it should go around the waist nicely. You should be able to tie the knots. There shouldn't be so less you can't tie them properly, but not so much that they're hanging free and get tangled and this and that, or, it's extra work. So that's the proper size. The presiding deity of the Kopan, which restrains one's desires and helps one cross over the ocean of material enjoyment, is the consort of the Lord, embodying shyness. It is also considered Prithvi, earth, The presiding deity of the belt, which supports the Kopan, is Ananta. The knot will be placed on the right side. According to some authorities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Vasuki, Pavana, Agni, Chandra, Shukra, and Brihaspati are situated in the Kopans, while others say that only Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva reside there. Vishnu is present in the knot, and Brahma and Shiva are on the two sides. One's outer cloth, which should cover the Kopan, is considered the consort or energy of Vishnu. Right, so these are the considerations in it. So that's why when it says here, Kopan and Shuti, so some will take this and try to interpret it that, how do you say, that Grihasthas don't wear Kopans, right? But it means they don't wear these Kopans that have been installed with all these deities, right? Well, Prabhupada called them Brahman underwear. I mean, whenever, wherever I've been, if you've been at places, at least before you'd see it, you know, back 70s, 80s, you know, you go to any holy places or places where the Brahmins are and they're preparing for doing their puja, you'd see when they'd bathe, they'd be wearing kopans. But they're not installed. They're just two pieces of cloth. It's just, it is the Vedic underwear. I even remember when Pishima was in Mayapur, Prabhupada's sister, then she stayed in a room, I think it was the, which one was it? Yeah, I think it was the, when you come up into the Lotus Building, the first one on the right. And so down at the end is the bathrooms. There's the bathrooms in the front and in the back. So I remember using the front bathroom, and then the bathroom, it means so, and I think later they shifted her to the back one and made that like her bathroom. But she would go to the bathroom and take her bath, but when she'd come back from the bathroom to the room, she'd only be wearing kopans. So even she was wearing, so even the ladies used to wear it. There was just the standard underwear. This new, you know, the modern thing, the sewn thing of what we call, you know, underwear now, then, you know, that's more of a modern development. But in the Vedic, then it was all used. So everyone would use that just for the sannyasis. When you say that Kopans is one of the things, it's because then you have the whole purification installation and those kind of aspects. Okay. So now you have the Kopans. One should smear sandalwood over the Kopan and belt, and then purify them again by sprinkling sandalwood paste and reciting the mantra. So let all the holy waters which are in this world, like Ganga, purify the Kopan, which are the cause of all perfections. Right? Because the point is, perfection means giving up any material desire. That's the perfection. Body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service. That's the principle of sannyas. Is that sannyas means you're doing everything for Krishna. The body, mind, and words are already engaged in Krishna's service. So any new endeavor, it's not yours that you have to offer to Krishna. It's already offered because your whole existence is connected to Krishna. Right? So that's what the devotees are trying to get to. Right? And that's their devotional mentality. That's coming from the understanding of the philosophy. So that's a primary aspect. Now to support that, then we have the whole Varnashram process for trying to elevate the consciousness, you know, by going up through these stages of the ashrams that give rise to, you know, more and more trying to come to that mentality. But it's not that the mentality isn't necessarily there in the pure devotees. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he's a grihastha, but he already has that mentality. Everything he does is for Krishna. But, you know, just that nice example and everything, then he takes the position of the Grihastha Ashram, and those all the activities connected with that. But otherwise, then the mentality means on the primary level, he's functioning on that level. But on the secondary, you know, religious level, then he's acting as a Grihastha in that context. So we see is that the whole Varnashram system is designed that everybody, you know, who has that interest or understanding can elevate themselves to that platform of sannyas, you know, in the mentality. So the Vedic is that the gross is there to support, is the secondary. But it's there in support of the primary. So because that's the commitment, then it works very nicely. So that's why you can see is that amongst the Vaishnavas, then you have these, you know, very simple Brahmins and all these kind of things like that. Well, if you're following like the mundane form of the Varnashram, like the Shankarites, then because they're interested in or the Smarthas and that, they're interested in sense gratification, then at some point they try to give it up, but it's still giving it up for liberation, not for devotion. So it's very hard for them. It's a very difficult process. So therefore, very qualified people may be able to do, who have good piety and some good qualities. But unfortunately, even though they may have that nice position and qualities, it's lost on the jiva in that it's not spiritual. It's still material. Like that. Good, but still material. Pious, but still material. So, yeah. So that's the point of the perfections is that point, because it represents to restrain one's desires, help one cross over the material enjoyment. That's the thing. And how do you do that? As surrendering to the consort of the Lord means through Lakshmi, we serve Narayan. Through Radha, we serve Krishna. Right? So Radharani is not going to come as the Kalpins, right? It's going to be her expansions as Lakshmi, which will expand down as the quality of shyness, like that, the earth, you know, then Bu, then as that. So you have both. You have Sri and Bu. You know, you have the quality of shyness. You have the quality of this. You have the position of giving up material attachments. So that'll include Nila. So therefore, then one will be in the situation one's in. We'll see that always in relation to the Lord. You know, then the actual what you're doing, you know, so that'll be Nila, but what you're doing is there, and that is for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, that will be Sri. So that way, then it covers all the elements that is there. Right? Also, Prabhupada mentions here about the Kopan and the belt, they're both the same size, like he gives only one size when you see he describes it. Kopan should be two pieces of cloth, the width should be equal to the distance. You know, one pradesh, and the length should be 14 fists. So they're both the same. Sometimes people do the belt is a really skinny one, and then the front, the kopan is as the full width. But it's actually they're both supposed to be the same. Otherwise, it digs too much into the waist. Okay. Along with the kopan, there should be two pieces of cloth for covering the body, right? So that represents considered the consort of the Lord, right? For covering the body, right? So that means a lower one and an upper one, like that. Or it can be just two lower ones so that you can wear one while you wash the other one, you know, depending upon how it's working. A blanket, kanta, so that for protection from the cold. So the kanta means that it's the kind of blanket that is, it's called, you know, your, what do you call that? The patchwork quilt blanket. That old cloth is taken, and you see in the homes nowadays, you don't see it, but before is you always have old cloth, you know, and it's all flat cloth. So then, this is a nice way to explain how they didn't have so it means that the pants and all that, like some upper sampradayas like to try to say is, how can you say it's this and that, you know, what when it says Krishna wears cloth, it could be pants, it could be, you know, it could be a, how you say, you know, a pair of, you know, Gucci pants or, you know, whatever it is. But the point is, how do you make the kanta? You can't make kantas out of jeans and skirts and stuff like that. You can only make it out of, you know, old dhotis and saris. So they would take, so what happens, it wears thin, so it's not strong enough. But at the same time, is much of the cloth is still good. Right? And so you lay it down, or it has a hole, or it gets marks on it or stains. So it's not something you can use. But so you lay down so many pieces, a few pieces, and then you take a, needle and thread and just loosely go through like this, you know, down, and you do it in the lines. That's just the simplest way to do it. And then you put some more, and then you put those together, and then connect those, and you know, you just keep going till you get the thickness you want. You know, you want a lighter one, you want a heavier one. And so then they can be any size you want, because you just put cloth next to each other, sew them together, and like that. But it's a loosely thrown. So even though they don't wear sewn cloth, this isn't like tailored as such, you know, fitting nicely and all that. This is just put together. But because of the so many thin areas and all the air in between, they're very, very warm. Right? And they're such that you don't have to worry about it. You can sit on it. You can do this and that. You're not going to worry that, oh, it's something so nice you can't use it in you know, nice in general and everything like that. And because it's a kanta, everybody has them in your house. So if you need a new one, it won't be so difficult to get. And people won't be, you know, thinking, oh, who is this guy? Why does he have the fancy clothes? So that's why we see with the pastime with Sanatan Goswami, when he first came to Kashi Mishra's place, then when he had been given a very nice chadar, you know, and very nice at those days would probably mean some kind of like pashmina or some kind of nice thing. And so he came, and so then when Lord Chaitanya said, oh, Sanatan Goswami's here, he's the most renowned, this, that. And so then he sent Kashi Mishra outside to find this sadhu. But when he went outside, he thought it was just a Muslim beggar because of, you know, the way he dressed, and he didn't have on that kind of kanta and things like that. So then he came back and said, I don't see anybody. So Lord Chaitanya went out himself, you know, and then embraced Lord Chaitanya and then brought him in. Okay. One more picture. So then, that picture in the office of Lord Chaitanya embracing Sanatan Goswami, you know, that one also is on the list. Okay, so there, and then after that, then Lord Chaitanya mentioned something about it. Then the next time when he went down to bathe, you know, at noontime, he went down to the Ganga there, and in bathing, he found some sadhu that had a, you know, some old kanta, and he asked if he'd like to trade with him. So the, you know, sadhu was happy. It was nice cloth. So then he took it, and Sanatan Goswami then had the kanta, and then when Lord Chaitanya saw that, he said, okay, now we're good. Right? So then, okay, so that's a blanket for protection from the cold. Next, so you have the kopan, which is there to restrain one's desires, help cross over the material ocean. Then you have the covering cloth, which represents the Lord's consort, which is then also for, you know, seeing that one is that potency, that association that one's absorbed in Krishna, like that. Then the blanket for protecting from cold. Then you have a sack, you know, something that you stick things in. So we say sack, you know, it'd be the jolly or something that you put on your arm, you put things inside. You know, generally it's a square piece of cloth like that. You tie the corners together, hang it on your arm. So I have a head cloth, etc. You know, in other words, you have all these different little paraphernalias that you may have. You know, a bead bag or whatever other little things like that, and shoes, right? And so the shoes typically would also be the wooden shoes, you know, the peg shoes. There should also be a tree danda, a palasha, bamboo, and bilva poles, or three poles of one of the three types of trees, right? So you'd use one palash, one bamboo, and one bilva, or three poles of one type. So we generally always just traditionally use bamboo. Easier to get, also a little more straight. One should also have a water pot made of tumba gourd, earth, or wood. Some menials also include a water strainer made of cloth and an asan, right? Depending if they're doing more puja and things like that. And you'll see that some do that. You know, like you mentioned before about the Shris. So then of the Shris, also you're going to have two groups. One that, you know, is more into these technical pujas, one that's not. you know, one that uses metal, one that won't. Like one branch of the Shris, they'll use Achman cups of metal, you know, Kamandalus of metal, this and that, but the other group won't. They have to be wood. You know, so traditionally then the tumba means it's the pumpkin, that white pumpkin. You get it in India. It's like a squash. And so it's a particular kind, kind of, you know, comes up like this shape, and then you cut the top so you have a handle, and then the rest of it holds. They should all be purified along with the kopan, right? So then you have the kopans there, you have the cloth, and you have all the other things. So then they're all going to be, you're going to put the smear of the sandalwood and then sprinkle water. And so then they'll all be purified. Once you chant the following 18 times over the items, so then it mentions, may all the life heirs together with all the senses become happily established by me. Right? So one, as we can see, is happily established. That means then they have to be engaged in Krishna service. Otherwise, as soon as you deviate from Krishna service or deviate from the, you know, proper approved activities, then there will be unhappiness. Right? So then it may be all established nicely. One should worship the copan and other items of sandalwood and flowers. And then, Edigan Pushpadi Kam. Like that. So one should chant the following mantra. So the Om Amri Shushidhaya Kopinaya Etad Ganda Pushpadi Kam Namo Chastu Swaha. One should chant the mantra following the Vini Yoga 10 times over the copan. I offer my obeisances to the presiding deity, personality of the Kopana, Anantadev in his form of shyness. So it's a consort of the Lord, but it's a consort of of Anantadev in the form of shyness. Right? So then we see Ananta, the earth, he holds up the earth, right? So like that, because it'll be said also as the element of Prithvi. So in any case, he's holding up the earth, he's supporting, he's the basis. Ananta, also Balaram, he's the Lord of the of the middle position. You have Radha and Krishna, and then you have, you know, Krishna as the existence of everything, Radharani as the pleasure of everything, and Balaram as the arrangements in the middle, how the two come together, right? So he's always supporting the you know, we see the earth, all these different aspects. And so then by his grace, then all this goes on, right? And then we see also his expansion as you know, a Sankarshan, as a Dvaitacharya. Then he also then is the Sadashiva. Then is the aspect of giving up the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer, right? And by giving that up, then one crosses over this material ocean. One should worship the copan, etc., with sandalwood and flowers. You know, etiket gandapushpe. And then it's done. So you've arranged them properly. You have the proper understanding. You purify them. Then you chant the mantras, you know, to start to install them. Then worship them with flowers, and then do the mantra again. And then the pushpa at the end. You know, pushpanjali. Okay, so then. That's then all the preliminary before, even though they're the deities, you're worshiping all these deities, that's the preliminary. Then you have the Kopan of Pratishtha, where you then invite the Kopin Adi Shtatri Devate Ihavaha, you know, Ihavaha Tashtri, like that. You're inviting all the different deities. You know, in other words, Ananta and his consorts and their expansions and all the different personalities that are involved. You see Lord Vishnu is there, Brahma, Shiva, like this. Okay. So now then he goes into, that means that was purified, then they're installed, and then being installed, then it's there. Just like Krishna and his form are non-different, then you have an installation. So someone, by having pictures of Krishna, it's automatically Krishna. But then you install, right? Qualification for the Kopina. So, means you have the element of, yeah, okay. One, okay, qualification for the Kopina. One should one qualified to wear a kopana should be free from the six forces of hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. Free from pride, violence, and lust. Filled with friendliness and mercy. Initiated with Vishnu mantra. Sense-controlled and skillful at practicing devotional service. One who is qualified may possess the qualities naturally, vidvat sannyasi, or may attain the qualities through initiation and the process of regulated devotional service. Vivatsa sannyasi, right? So means you're going to have those that have the natural piety. They're born into these pious families, or even if they're not, they themselves have all these good qualities. And so it's just natural for them. So it's just a matter of formality that they take this, just that then socially they'll be recognized on that platform. Like you see, you know, the acharyas and so many great personalities, they have all these qualities. Then it's just a matter of manifesting it. Like Haridas Thakur has all these qualities, but he doesn't necessarily take, you know, the ashram as such, you know. Does that make sense? Or if he does, then at that time, socially, he'll be recognized. But the monks of Vaishnavas, that's already understood his advanced position. Or it's through initiation, because you don't have those qualities, but through initiation and the process of regulated devotional service, then you start to develop those qualities. So whichever way it is, they're coming naturally, or you're developing it through the devotional process and association. But in any case, the idea is these qualities should develop. Those who are proud, duplicitous, aggressive, and devoid of devotion cannot be given the kopan, right? So one would say, oh, but nobody has all these. But then you should see the list for someone qualified to take initiation. It's also a big list. Like that. So in other words, you're committed to these things, and you start seeing some of this manifesting. And so it's a potential that can move forward. But if they are proud, duplicitous, aggressive, devoid of devotion, then no, you have to wait for these qualities to develop more. If that is done, the guru's own spiritual position will be devastated, right? So therefore, then it's avoided, because otherwise they give for some other purpose, you know, political purpose, or for some other material gain within dharma, dukkha, and moksha, then it will also destroy the spiritual master, the guru who's giving, right? Because it says the guru means the sannyas guru. The sannyas guru is not necessarily the diksha guru, right? So the guru only has a context, that seniority in the context of sannyas, not necessarily in your devotional life and everything. Sometimes it's trying to be used. No, that's a separate thing, because it's within varnashram. Like we see, it's within the ashram aspect, if given up the varna aspect, but it's not the pancharatrik. The pancharatrik is a higher level of initiation. As a person of bad quality should be rejected for sannyas, so a kopana of bad quality should be rejected. Ugly, stained or dirty cloth, sewn cloth, and fancy cloth for exterior covering are to be rejected. The cloth should be dyed reddish. Right? Shiva received the kopan made by Brahma from Ananta. Nard Muni received it and became a great yogi. In this way, rishis such as Shaunaka received it. And finally, Keshava Bharati. Gaurasundara received it from Keshava Bharati. He gave it to his devotees. Receiving the kopan in this way, one can certainly also become a great yogi. Thinking of the kopan in this way, the candidate should pray. Please deliver this fallen soul from the waves of the material world. Bestow upon me the kopan to purify me and extinguish the suffering of material existence. Receiving this kopan, I shall very quickly become pure. Right? So that's the whole idea of this. Then it has the advantage in that position. People, striving for that will socially then appreciate that. Therefore, then, you know, the danda, the saffron cloth, all these different things, those then make the advantage, right? The candidate should beg the guru, O spiritual master, please give me the cloth and other items which are characteristic of a sannyasi, right? the guru should say, oh, fortunate one, if you so desire this, then say, Praisha, may the function commence three times. The candidate should say, Praisho smi, with his hands folded in prayer, right? Means let this function commence. Like we see before in other elements that it has to be, is like with the brahmachari. He's come there for it. It's obvious that, but he still has to say it. Having said it, right? Because the Brahmin says something, it has to be committed to. Like the Kshatriyas, they say something, they commit to. Vaishya Shudras, they say something, they may stick to it, they may not. But in this case, then, you know, these higher principles that you've said it, then it's to be done. Right? You know, Ramses, it was let it be written and let it be done, because I think people forget so quickly. But the point is you should say it. So therefore, as if you want it, then say, and then he makes the point, let it continue. Otherwise, you see, people will be committed to a certain thing. They won't say it out loud, but they won't say against it. You know, like in the political forum, and they want to take both sides, so they don't want to offend anybody. No, here you have to say, you have to make a stand. You have to say, what is the position? Then it's very obvious, then people can deal, because as it said before, duplicious, proud, duplicious, aggressive, devoid. So duplicious, then they shouldn't be in this position, because then you can't trust, and you're supposed to be able to trust. As it moves up in the hierarchy, you're supposed to be able to trust more, not less. The guru should then show the candidate how to worship Guru Parampara up to Krishna, Yaga, right? So that means then the aspect of worshiping the deity, right? And if he has already received Vaishnava mantra, right? If he hasn't, then he would receive in that. Then he should make the candidate offer the cloth, etc., previously purified to the deity, and then make him pray to the deity to receive it. So he's gotten it, then he goes to Krishna. Now he's gotten the blessings of Guru, now he can get the blessings of Krishna. Then it's complete, because if you just go to Krishna, then what's the point? You have to go to Guru, but Guru is taking you to Krishna, so they both are there. The cloth, etc., should be touched by any sannyasi present, and then the candidate should be dressed in his new cloth. So after having gone to the deities and all that, then it's taken and taken around to any sannyasis present. They can give blessings, you know, to everything, and then like that. So he has the blessings of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas, right? Then Namakarana. The candidate has not already had pancha samskara. He should be given a name of the Lord with the word dasa after it to signify his servitude to the Lord. Then verse here, I am the servant of the servant of the devotees in whose hearts reside the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. May they be pleased with me always. Some scholars say that this is the designation given to qualified brahmanas. The root word is dasri, which means to give in charity and accept in charity. One who is qualified to do so is called dasri. Oh, the other is dasri. But the devotees of Krishna take the designation because it directed thus in the Sanat Kumar Tantra. Actually, all jivas are constitutionally the servants of Krishna, and by the process of devotional service, anyone can revive that status. That is also the goal of taking sannyas, right? To revive that stand. So we see here is that a double thing is meant, because sometimes then people see that you use the term das, you know, as the title, and then they take it, das means servant, so they take it as a shudra name, because it also is used by shudras to indicate their position as servants. But as pointed out here, then it's given, then this comes from the root dasari. Then some, it means given charity and accept charity. Who can give and accept? Only Brahmins. All the other three can give but not accept, right? And so therefore then Brahmins, it's a Brahmin title, right? But so then it establishes, yes, then we have the Brahmana position, right? Because Vaishnavas are automatically Brahmins. But so that aspect is being established, but we see Sumat Kumar Tantra is establishing that it also means that all jivas are constitutionally. So one is you're talking about conditional, yes, then you're on the level of Brahman. But constitutional, all jivas are servants of the Lord. So being servants of the Lord, all of them can take up that position as identifying as servant of the Lord, and identifying as the servant of the Lord then that's what gives them the term dasa. So therefore, all the levels could have it. And you see also, and probably gave the names, and you had whatever the name one that it was that would have das, and then they put, instead of brahmachari after adhikar, they put, the Goswami or Swami like that. You know, so then you'd have that kind of title. And so the dasa would still be part. But I've seen it on those who are more identifying with the varna aspect of the Brahminical culture. When they hear the title dasa, then they think, oh, that means shudra. And so then they don't talk more about anything after that. Up to that point, oh, yes, they expect some nice thing to say dasa. And then they just kind of, they weren't expecting that. They expected a little bit more, right? Vishnu mantra dharana, right? So also at this time, then you may be given these other titles that indicate some element or quality of the devotee and how they're going to be preaching and all that. So we see, like from the Gaudiya Mat, then they were always using the bhakti this, bhakti something like that. And so then we see in the later sannyas initiations, and then Prabhupada was giving titles like that. And so then, it all goes together. But then in the Gaudiya, they put the dasa at the front. So then if they have this name, they put that. So they put dasa and then the bhakti, this, that, and then whatever it is, the Swami or Goswami. Or the older ones, then it's, it'll be their initiated name, das, and then putting Swami or Goswami. Vishnu mantra dharana. If the candidate has not had pancha samskara, the qualified guru, knowledgeable of the rules of sannyas, should then give the candidate Krishna mantra in the left ear. Right? So that means the disciple sits the guru's right, and then he hears in that ear. So it's considered spiritual knowledge is going that way. The material knowledge. I mean, sounds go in this ear. Okay. And then he's saying is the qualified guru knowledgeable of the rules. So for us, is if they've already had the pancharatrik, that's why we're even part of the process. But you have other pious people who they are Brahmins naturally. They're practicing the Brahmana Dharma. They've gone up through the Varnashram system. Now they want to take the sannyas. Now, whether they've taken pancharatrika initiation or not, because they could have performed all of their life just on the position of the, from the Vedic platform, from the samskar, from the Varnashram, that they're Brahmins. So here is that if they haven't, then they would come to this position, like you may see. Like, I think it was Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He was a teacher in Orissa and all that. Then he came to Prabhupada in Vrindavan. I don't think he was initiated. But then he came and then, Prabhupada, initiated, gave him sannyas and all that and sent him back to preach. Because he was a very qualified person, very, very thoughtful. He was a teacher by nature and all that. So you will get this, but it's going to be only from those people who have come from these, they're initiated into Upanayanam and that through the Vedic system. They practice all the Brahminical qualities that then they may be getting it at this time when the sannyas. But otherwise for us, it's already been gotten before. And so then they're only going to add to it the elements of the sannyas. So those things that overlap then are done, like here, then after giving the whatever would be the second, the diksha, the second initiation, then he's also going to get the sannyas mantra, right? That there's therefore that he'll chant along with that. But if he hasn't gotten the pancharatriks, then why would he get this, right? For the smartas and that, they don't deal with they don't have the pancharatrik. They already have their upan. So all they do is add whatever it is that they're adding to it. The candidate should then repeat three times. I take complete shelter of sannyas dharma, which means complete surrender to the Lord in the manner of the gopis for the sole purpose of pleasing Krishna. Right? So then the mantra naturally then will carry that flavor. So the point is in the manner of the gopis, it's not, so some will take it, oh, it's some sahajya thing. No. What's the point of the Brajvasis are surrender to Krishna as pure devotional, pure unalloyed devotional service. There's no tinge of karma, jnana, no tinge of liberation. Like in Vaikuntha, there's no in element of wanting any fruit of results, but there is the aspect that they want liberation. But that liberation is context of the Lord. And so therefore on the same plan as the Lord, associate the Lord, same features or same opulences, these kind of things. So it's all connected to the Lord, and they use everything in the Lord's service. So it's pure devotional service, but it's not what Rupa Goswami talks about, pure unalloyed devotional service. You should see that anything else is removed. So this thing is theirs, that the Brajbasis have that, and of them, then the gopis are considered the top, the most surrendered to Krishna. So like that, we try to follow in their footsteps of being fully surrendered to Krishna with no idea of anything other than body, mind, and words, always engaged in the Lord's service. That's what it's trying to get to. So it's not it's talking about some sahajya thing where we'll just sit around and read about the gopis all day. That's not what it's relating to. It's talking about that mood of surrender. We always have to remember is that with these samskaras, there's the external form that we see, but then there's what's the meaning and the subtle meaning of it. You know, either the spiritual meaning, the transcendental meaning, and sometimes more subtle metaphysical meanings like that. Then 9, Achyuta Gotra Svikara. Acceptance of Achyuta Gotra is characterized by the Vaishnava markings such as Tilak, Tulsi beads, etc. According to the scriptural injunctions, at the perfection of sannyas dharma, person should give up all markings of varna and ashram and wander about transcendental to all rules as a paramahamsa. But the paramahamsa does not give up the markings of the Vaishnava, tilak, mala, etc., except in extraordinary circumstances. According to the scriptures, the neck beads of tulsi wood, tilak, and mudra should always be worn, for they are markings of the Vaishnava. One who is the servant of the Lord, that designation is never given up, right? So even though they may give up these other things, the tilak, the neck beads that you're putting the names of the Lord or the, you know, Shankar Chakra and these things on, then these are always, this means you're Vaishnavas. So they're never, those aren't given up. So, yeah. One is also advised to wear during the daytime panchamala, composed of gunja, amlaki, lotus seeds, tulsi wood, and rope from Jagannath's cart, right? So that panchamala then is a standard thing for, we see is that at least the in the Gaudiya tradition, then the sannyasis would wear, right? Does that make sense? So one has given up varna, then one can accept sannyas, and then one gives up ashram, the markings of ashram, then that may be, you know, like that, and then one is on that paramahamsa platform. But that position, you never give up the tilak, the neck beads, you know, and the mudra, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Acceptance of Achyuta Gotra, and for us, the Kanti Mala and the Mudra are technically the same. So even if one's not marking the other markings, that you're wearing the neck beads, it represents that. So for us, the Tilak and the neck beads. Acceptance of Achyuta Gotra means full surrender to the authority of the Lord, and is therefore particularly meant to signify the devotee of the Lord, right? It's particularly meant to signify the devotee. That's what we were talking before, is that anybody, devotee, technically is trying to do that, and so he's acting in that capacity. Now, if someone's from a particular Indian gotra, especially if it's respectable and it's used within the context of his preaching and stuff, then he's going to use that, you know, if it's a value. Or he may have some attachment to it as a grihastha, and so then, yes, he identifies and all that. So he may have these things, and that's fine. You know, as long as he's doing that, but he has to ultimately remember it's about surrender to the Lord. So if his gotra is not used in the Lord's service, then what's the point? You know, so if it's used in the context of preaching, then it has a value. If not, then what's the point? But all devotees are on that, have that particular mentality in that. So here it's just a formality of trying to give up, trying to do, in other words, externally, you do all these things to make sure that you're going to surrender to the Lord and be fully surrendered. Though we see is Prahlad Maharaj was already in that position as a Paramahamsa when he was 3 years old, and Narad Muni, you know, when he's 6 years old. So, you know, you see that it's these things are inherent in the pure devotees, but it's the point of the samskar formalizes that this is what your mentality, you should be focusing on this. Just as a girl gives up her previous gotra and accepts her husband's gotra on completion of the marriage ceremony, the sannyasi should understand that he is giving up all material designations of family, etc., and simply identifying himself as the servant of Krishna, Achyuta, in Krishna's family, gotra, right? So he's seeing that all other material designations I have, those have to be given up. And when I say just gotra, it means everything goes along with it. You know, the particular social prestige and status and any facility you may gain from that. And being in that gotra, you do certain rituals and all, it means all of that. So that's her meaning, is that at this point, if as a grihastha, he may be doing everything for Krishna, but he still may be using some of the forms, but it's sannyasi even gives those up. Does that make sense? So it's just at some point, it's supposed to be full, complete. Whether it's, if it's happened already before, then it's just a formality at this point. And if it hasn't, then this formality is a samskar to bring it to mind, to make, give it a focus. So the candidate should say, you know, I am now a member of the Achyuta Gotra, right? So this whole thing that, oh, other devotees can't identify as Achyuta Gotra, is that it's natural all devotees identify with that, right? So the whole point is it's there, but here then it's formal that this is, yes, this is what you are. Because before that, then generally those who are saying you can't, only sannyasis can do this, are generally people that already have a Gotra. And they do identify with it. So then if they being born in this high gotra family, you know, like that, and they're identifying with it, and then you have these Malechan Yavanas then coming to Krishna consciousness and taking up and surrendering to Krishna, identifying with the Chuta gotra, which is higher than their gotra, but they've been born lower, and that's the reason for them having the gotra, it doesn't digest well for them. So therefore, the point is, it's just, it hasn't been formally taken like this, but it's still the identity that one is using, right? Shaligram Srila Archana, how are we doing on time? Okay. So this consists of Shaligram Srila Archana, worship of the Shaligram. This is common to all the ashrams, and it's performed according to Panchatriki rules. So here, Shaligram Srila Archan, but so now if we take that, what we were saying before, of the Achyuta Gotra, oh, only they can do it, so then that means only sannyasis can do Shaligram Srila Archan. No, it's common to all ashrams, like it says the word, the name Das is common to all, and the Achyuta Gotra is common to all devotees because of their surrender. It just becomes formalized, it becomes part of their, what they do. He said, okay, so in other words, this is common and is performed according to Pancharatrika rules, right? You know. So that's what's done there for us. You know, if they're Vaikanas, they come from that background they're taking, there's a good chance they won't be taking sannyas from us, but if they did, they can continue worshiping how they did, but then if they're taking initiation in our line, then they'll naturally use the Pancharatrika, because it just has that more sweetness and more accessibility. Does that make some sense? Yeah, so in other words, it's formalized, it's part of the scene. So you see some do get more into the worship, some don't. He should then go and beg from 3, 5, or 7 houses, saying, Bho Matar Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. Interesting. Okay, so now you know, because the brahmacharis would just say Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi, but he said, Bho Matar Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. So he has a little bit more, so you know he's a sannyasi. Whatever he has begged, he should offer to the guru, right? So then for this, then it goes just like we sell the Upanayana, the brahmacharis, then we go out and beg, then bring that back and give it to whoever performed the ceremony. Okay, so then that's the, this is then the complete ceremony. We see it's simple. Doesn't require any yajna or anything like that, because then you're dealing with sannyasis. You get sannyas from a sannyasi, and if you're out in the forest, you know where you're going to get all that, so all this can be done nicely. So now for the passing ceremony, when the sannyasi pat on antyeshti, right? So this, because they're passing the sannyasi, then it's in a different category. It can be in the same manual. But for the, but in the general samskaras, they don't put the passing rites in the main, same manual. It's a separate manual. Right? So it's, you know, that's uniqueness there. When the sannyasi passes from this world, the following mantra should be written on his body. Then it said, let me pay my respects to the pit, to the earth composed of salt and dirt, right? So then you see is that they're always going to be buried. You don't cremate the body. You can if there's the situation is such that it will be a problem if you don't. You know, like we see the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they were cremated, kept because you see with the Muslims there, they came and made trouble. You could just pick up the urn and then, you know, go like that. But otherwise, then the standard is just the body is not cremated and it's just buried. So we see as many times, like in the West, if they're doing something, you know, we have a place and we have our places and all that. It's ours today, but will it be tomorrow? So then why put in a samadhi that then you can't take everything with you? Because you can't dig up a body. It's against the law, right? But if you have the ashes and you have them in an urn and you put them nicely in a samadhi, you know, the whatever it is, temple, if you need, you can take the ashes with you. No one's going to complain about that. So one should, you know, see and consider what's the situation. But something like Mayapur project, then if they bury there, then it's not a problem because, you know, the project is there. But I would say when you're dealing in other places, then otherwise they're there or this, you know. Body may be placed in Tirtha water or in a hole in the earth. So they can also be put in the Tirtha, which should be one step larger than the height of the person. Right? So it should be deep enough, right? The body has been burnt. The ashes or bones should be taken to holy Tirtha and they're placed in earth. Right? So then, yeah. Like that. Yeah. It mentions that it may be. It's not against the rules, but just you don't have to. In other words, with anyone other than sannyasis, you must burn the body. But with the sannyasis, you don't have to. But if it is, then it's still, you go to the same point. This manual concerning sannyasis approved by the acharyas, as approved by the acharyas, has been compiled so that one may achieve the pure devotion to the Lord in the manner of the followers of Lord Chaitanya. Thus ends the book, Samskar Deepika. So his whole point is the whole purpose of we saw is the samskars, and then of this, you know, the 10 samskars of sannyas, then is to come to the platform of becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. That's all these things are for. So the whole Vedic system for us is only to bring us to the platform of pure devotion. That's why then Daiva Varna Ashram is the process we follow. We're not interested in Varna Ashram on its own for as simply as for its, you know, economic, political, social, judicial platforms. We're only interested in coming to the platform of pure devotion. So those elements of it that will assist us in that, that the acharyas have given, that we follow. And the others are not necessarily for us because we're following the higher principle, the purpose of it. So the lower details may or may not be followed depending upon one's situation. So that's the whole point of these things. So then if that's understood, then it's the Vedic system doesn't become something foreign as a basis of fear or loss of identity. It's just a matter of, no, these are to assist the human being. So the human being uses Varna Ashram as the religious aspects to help them achieve pure devotion in their practice of the Bhagavat and Pancharatra process. Yeah. Is that good? Okay. So then we finished those. Now in the glossary, so words, okay. Okay, here, you know all these things. I think most of these have been explained, or they're very clear here. Then we move to Appendix 1. We have Yajna Vidhi, and then gets into details here. Yeah, somewhat explained. Some things may have been discussed, but otherwise, go through here. Yajna and its origins. I mean, well, before we get into that, is there any questions on this, on the, any of the sannyas elements or that? Okay. Yagya is the Vedic method of worshiping Vishnu by offering of ghee, grains, spices, fruit, etc. into the sacred fire, accompanied by the chanting of mantras. Right? So that's what it is. Worshipping Vishnu by offering of ghee, grain, spices, that into the sacred fire. Well, that means so it's been purified and stalked, accompanied by chanting mantras. So it's still part of the Sankirtan element, right? According to Amar Kosh, the word yajna is derived from the Sanskrit word yaja, to worship. Okay. Yeah. In the Purusha Shukta, Rig Veda 10:19:16, we read that when the demigods, after being created by the Lord, desired to worship him through the system of yajna. By their will and contemplation, they offered the Lord himself as the first oblation for the creation of the universe. This was the first yajna. Yat Purushena Havisha Deva Yajna Matandvata. Because Krishna is everything, there isn't anything else other than him. So in this worship, then it's only he that can be offered, you know, in the process, you know, for his pleasure. There isn't anything else. So in this then creates this difficulty in understanding that we see will come up, is that, as we saw before, as we were talking before, that some devotees then, when they go to the performance of the yajna and the yajna vidhi, they say that what Gopal Bhatta Goswami doesn't make sense, and so they go to the Shris, and because they're from Shris, if they were Gujus, they would probably be going to the Vallabhas, but, you know, they're just taking it as, oh, it's the natural thing that you have to do. No, that's just their family, so family line, or somewhat, you know, their, you know, how you say, Shri Bandhus, you know, they were born in that line, but whether they were following or anything very strictly, or even had initiation, that's another thing. But in any case, so they're taking up that line, and that's also generally from Padma, which is much more understandable, because even we use the Haya Shirsha and Ahir Bhutnyaya, which they also avoid, these Shris, because it's too difficult for them. So when they say, then it struck me as thinking about it, is because if they're looking at the things from the point of Vishishta Dwait, which just means this oneness, it's only dealing with identity, not individuality. Right? It means individual, that they as a person are surrendering to the Lord, but the main focus is on identity. And so then because of this, your identity, you know, as serving the Lord, but it doesn't get so much into the individuality, then they can't see individual and identity as well. Just like you see Vishuddha Dwait, Vishishta Dwait, there will be more on identity. Dwait will have identity and individuality. Dwait, it's just individuality. They're not going to accept that point of identity because the Mayavadis are misusing that, you know, to the extreme. So they're taking the extreme identity platform, you know, and Manujan, it's identity. It has the other elements there, but it's focusing on that part because they're coming from that kind of impersonal background. It makes it easier for them. So then, they're not using a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. Unless you use a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, they won't be able to understand Gopal Bhatta Goswami's, you know, what he's given. It's Vedic, it's proper. It's not that he made it up. It's just that they won't be able to appreciate what the Acharyas have taken. So that's right. Without using a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, you can't understand Daiva Varnashram. Right? And then unless you're human, you can't understand Varnashram at all. And as a devotee, then that Chinta Veda Veda, then Daiva Varnashram makes sense. So that would be the whole thing, is that they're not appreciating what the Acharyas are given and how the identity elements can be there and everything has its place, but at the same time, individuality is there and it's beyond that. Krishna is everything, but he's still beyond it. So that's the uniqueness. That's why Vyasadeva had explained all the Vedas up through Mahabharata, but he wasn't satisfied because he hadn't explained how this simultaneous identity and individuality goes on simultaneously. Otherwise, some incidents I'll look at it as one, some as two, but otherwise they're not looking at it simultaneously. Only when he did that, then he writes Bhagavatam, then it becomes clear. And that's the platform that the Acharyas are approaching the Vedic literatures from. It's from this platform of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Therefore, our understanding of Daiva Varnashram is coming from that. And if you don't understand it, Chitta Veda Veda Tattva, or look at it that way, you cannot understand Daiva Varnashram. And you cannot understand the path that the Acharyas have given us, at least on the technical points where it seems to overlap with something, you know, from their so-called background. Does that make sense? Okay. So we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.